He reigns forever. He reigns forever and evermore. Thank God, amen. He reigns. And he is the one, amen, that we can truly count on day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, amen. We know we live in a world, amen, where man will let you down every time. But we thank God that we can count on King Jesus. We sing our praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. And the songwriter says, all hail King Jesus. And so we thank God, amen, that we have a true King, amen, that we can rely on, that we can count on, that will be there when nobody else is there, amen. And we call him King Jesus. The record declares that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we thank God today that truly this is the day that the Lord has made. It's a beautiful day outside. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We had a little rain last night. Amen. But early this morning, the sun poked his head out. Amen. Had a little cool breeze out there. Amen. And we thank God. Amen. He knows what we need when we need it. Amen. So we're just grateful to God for allowing us to see another day, another day. When we woke up this morning, we took it for granted, amen, that we were able to inhale and exhale, amen. We were able to put one foot in front of the other, and the old deacon would say the blood is still running warm in my veins, amen. We were able to feed ourselves. We were able to be in our right minds, and we just thank God that we know God in the free pardoning of our sins. I thank God today, amen, that we had a praise in our spirit and we had a desire to come to the house of the Lord and lift up the name of Jesus. And it is he who declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that he would draw all men unto himself. And so we thank God today for his drawing power, his keeping power. We thank God, amen, that truly he has been a friend. Lord, have mercy. When nobody else was a friend, amen. He'll be a friend to the friends. He'll be a mother and a father to the mother and the fatherless. Amen. God will be with you to the end. Amen. And so we thank God for all that he's done and all that he's continuing to do. And truly, when we look back over our lives and we think things over, we can truly say that we've been blessed. And our testimony is that the Lord has been good to me. Amen. So we give him honor and glory today. And so we're going to invoke his presence with Psalm 24. Psalm 24, invocation song that says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence. Keep silence. Keep silence. Keep silence before him. Amen. We're going to ask this morning that if Reverend Sykes could lead us in prayer this morning. Good morning, Reverend Sykes.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, church family. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning with hearts of thanksgiving and praise. Oh God, we come this morning boldly unto your throne of grace, O God, that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace to help us, Lord, in time of need. And so, Father, there are many needs this morning, Father God. But, Father God, we want to thank you, first of all, for your new mercies of this day. O God, we want to thank you, Father God, this morning for your grace and your loving kindness. God, we want to thank you this morning for being our refuge and our fortress, for being a very present help in times of trouble.
Yes.
Lord, we know that there is nothing too hard for you. And so, Father, we come thanking you for being a prayer-answering God. Oh, God,
yes,
we come submitting ourselves to you this morning, Father God. Allow your will to be done in all of our lives. Oh, God, mm-hmm. we come praying for our pastor this morning. Pastor Anthony B.K. Son, Sr., God, strengthen him in every area of his life, O God. Continue, O God, to keep his mind, his physical body, and his spirit strong, O God. We pray for our First Lady and the Heart of God Baptist Church family this morning. We pray for those who are on the line this morning, those that are watching by Facebook, O God.
Yeah.
Whatever means of, oh God, media they're watching by, Father, we lift them up in prayer this morning, Father God. Father God, we come this morning, Father God, praying for all bereaved families this morning, Father God. And Father God,
mm-hmm.
we lift up Minister Harris and his family this morning, Father God.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
lift up Pastor Fields and his family this morning,
yeah.
Father God. And any other bereaved families that have recently, oh God, loved ones, oh God, have gone on to glory, oh God. We lift them up to you this morning, Father God, asking that you would comfort and strengthen them, Father God. Father God, we pray, oh God, this morning for all teachers, for all parents, for all of our students and school systems. God, we pray this morning for the peace in Jerusalem and Israel, oh God,
and all of
the war-torn countries this morning, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we pray, oh, God, for peace in our land, Father God. We pray for unity, oh, God. We pray for strength, oh, God, in these difficult times that we're in, Father God. For where there's unity, Father God, there is strength, Father God. And so, Father God, we come praying for all churches and all houses of worship, oh, God, and all of our servant leaders and all of our pastors, oh God, all of our prayer warriors and missionaries this morning, wherever they may be, Father God. Father God. We're calling on you, Father God.
Yes,
we don't have to ask you to come on by, Father, because you're already with us, Father God.
Yes.
You're with us always, Father God. You told us that you will be with us always, even until the ends of the world, Father God.
Yes,
so we know, Father God, that you're right by our side, Father God, wherever we may go, Father God, and wherever we may be, Father God. And so, Father God, we pray, oh God, this morning, Father God, for all of our servant leaders, all of our pastors, Father God. We pray this morning, Father God, that you would touch the hearts and the minds and the spirits of your people on today, oh God. Father God, we thank you, oh God, for being a part of kingdom building, Father God.
Yes.
We thank you for being, oh God, your sons and daughters in ministry, Father God. Use us, Father God, in your service, Father God. Father God, we thank you, oh God, this morning, Father God, because you are good and your mercy endures forever, Father God. You are the source of our strength. You are the strength of our lives, Father God. And so, Father God, we offer up a sacrifice of praise to you today, Father God, because sometimes, Father God, we don't know whether to stand still, to go forward, or just to be seated, Father God. But, God, we thank you this morning because we know, oh God, that you are the author and you are the finisher of our faith, Father God. And so, Father God, we are looking to you, Father God, who is that author and finisher of our faith, Father God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning and we bless your name this morning, Father God.
Your name.
And so, Father God, we say thank you. We say hallelujah to your name this morning because you are worthy to be praised this morning. Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain, Father God. And, Father God, no matter in spite of what it looks like, be like, Father God, or is, Father God, we're going to still give you praise. We're going to still give you honor. And we're going to still give you glory, Father God. And so, Father, we praise you this morning, oh God. We magnify your name this morning.
Your
we
name.
Glorify
your,
name this morning, Father God. We come with thankful hearts this morning. We come with grateful hearts this morning, Father God, because you have been so good to us, Father God. Down through the years, Father God, you have kept us, Father God. You have kept our minds, oh God. You have kept, oh God, our physical bodies, Father God, even though sometimes we have experienced, Father God, illnesses, Father God. But God, you have proved yourself to be a healer, God, in our lives, Father God. And so, Father God, we thank you this morning, Father God, and we bless your name this morning, Father God. Oh, God, oh, God, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, Father God. And so, Father God, we give it to you this morning, Father God. We glorify you this morning, Father God. We say hallelujah to your name this morning, because hallelujah is the highest praise this morning, Father God. And so, Father God, we thank you, and we bless your name, and we praise your name this morning, Father God. And so, Father God, we know that we sin and we fall short, Father God. But, Father God, we ask, Father God, forgiveness of any sins, God, that we may have committed in word, deed, thought, action, or reaction, and that you would create within all of us clean hearts, oh God, and make us pure vessels, Father God, to be used by you, Father God. Oh, God, continue to help us to be that light, oh God, in darkness in somebody's life, oh God, that they might be able to see the light of you in us, Father God, not us, Father God, but the light, oh God, that you dispels in us, Father God. And so, Father, we thank you and we love you and we adore you. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, and thank God. Amen. Thank Heaven Sykes, amen, for allowing the Lord to use us in prayer this morning. Nothing like a little talk with Jesus to make everything all right. Amen. And, we want to continue to lift him up. Amen. Thanks again for that prayer. Amen. Nothing like a little talk with Jesus. There's a song I want to sing this morning. Number 211 in your hymnal, and it's entitled Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And I don't know about you, amen, but sometimes you got to lean, amen, on the everlasting arms. Sometimes the weeks and the days and the moments get a little rough, amen. Sometimes life has some ups and some downs, amen. Some trials and some tribulations, amen. But if you can continue to lean on the everlasting arms, you can make it through, amen. I know, amen, that many have experienced death and illness, amen, this week. I always kid folk when I call them on the phone and they ask me how I'm doing. I say, I'm yet holding on, amen. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, amen. And the truth be told, amen, God is holding on to us, amen. And we're leaning and depending on him. So this is another song that we sang throughout history of the church. Said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And the refrain says, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. So let us sing to the glory of God. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path rose from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning. Oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. We are leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Lean, Lord, have mercy. Everlasting arms. Somebody said I had to lean all night long. Amen. Somebody said I had to lean all week long. Somebody said I had to lean all year long. Come on now. Somebody said I'm still leaning. Come on now. You know, amen, every now and then, amen, you think, amen, you're going to be able to make it and you find yourself leaning some more. Come on now. It seems like, amen, we keep on leaning, amen. But as long as we can keep on leaning, we can keep on making it in Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say, I'm still leaning, amen, on the everlasting arms. Somebody said, how did you make it? You said, I was leaning, amen. I'm leaning, amen. How did you get through? I've been leaning on the everlasting arm. How do you still got a peace of mind? I've been leaning on the everlasting arm. How did you get through that situation? I was leaning on the everlasting arm. So we thank God, amen, that we can still lean, amen. Sometimes you go to a place and the place ain't there no more. Amen. Wife and I, we were traveling around this weekend, amen, and we drove by some places, amen, and the places weren't there no more, amen. But if you continue to walk with God, amen, God will always be there. I'm going to say that again. If you continue to walk with God, God will always be there, amen. I don't care what you're going through, amen. God's not going to go anywhere, amen. He's going to be right there for you, amen. A comfort in knowing, amen, that God's going to be there for you. He said in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, amen. So when you drive by that place or that building and it's no longer there, amen, you can always look to God and say, even though the building may not, come on now, even though the people may not be there anymore, amen, even though, amen, the road may not be there anymore, we can still, amen, know that God is a never-changing God, amen, and that God will always be there. When all the rest of the world has changed and gone, amen, God will still be the everlasting God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great I am that I am, the God, amen, that says in the beginning, I am. In other words, God has always been and God will always continue to be the one that we can lean and depend on. Amen? That is a blessing today to know. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Amen. I don't care how young or how old you've been. Amen. God has always been there. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. We got, might have a testimony in the building today. We're going to start over here. Amen. In the corner. Amen. God bless you.
Church,
good morning.
I'm still leaning,
yeah,
and depending on God.
Amen.
You know, his everlasting arms. Been there for me. Like I said, the Lord be with me the 26th of this month, 7 years old, and I'm still leaning and depending on nobody but God.
Amen.
I know he's there. Been there for me.
Yeah.
I look, like I said, look back on my life.
Mm-hmm.
I can truly say.
Yeah.
I got a testimony.
Yeah.
God truly have been with me. He brought me from mighty, mighty long way. I thank God for just being there for me. Even when I was not there for him, he stayed there with me. I just thank God for my family.
Yeah.
I thank God for my church family.
Yeah.
I thank God for you, Pastor.
Yeah.
I just thank God for everybody for you. Yeah. Truly been God, of his word, will never leave you nor forsake you. I thank God he was in there. Even though sometimes, I know some of God, but I never said God. I think I might try to do my own thing. But, you know, he'll let you do it, too. He'll let you go out and do your thing. But it's to the point, you know, he'll bring you back in.
Yeah,
if you want to be brought back.
All right.
I thank God for bringing me back in. Started me on that way of trying to be more like him.
Yeah.
I'm not like him, you know, I'm not there, but I'm trying each day and every day,
yeah,
to be more and more and live more like Jesus. Like Jesus.
Yeah. Testimony this morning, First Lady, huh? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank the Lord for this day. Thank him for the sunshine. Most of all, I thank you for touching me this morning with a finger of love and waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. I thank the Lord for the blessing to be here, to worship him one more time in the house of the Lord. God has been so good that I I can't tell it all. That's how good he's been to me. But I just pray that everyone has a blessed week, stay safe, and look forward to worshiping with you again and again and again. I'm sending out love, air hugs to everyone. Have a blessed week.
You, first lady, amen. See, we have a testimony on the line this morning about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. We're going to go to our first worshiper. Amen. Last four digits, 7611. 7611. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising me this morning. I got nothing to do but to lean on God. God know what I'm going through and the problems that I got. And I got nobody to lean on but him. Everybody just go on and on and on. You don't know where your friends are, where your peoples are, but you know you got a friend with God. And if he touched me in the morning, give me another second chance to step on the ground and keep on kicking. I praise the Lord and I thank you. I got to lean on him all the way until he turned me loose. I said, thank you, Jesus, for being so good to me. You have brought me a mighty long way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our next worshiper. Last word is 0025. 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, First Lady, in the heart of God. Truly, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms of God. His arms are wide open unto all of us, and I thank God that he has my back, he has my front, he has every part of me. And so I just thank God this morning, because as I sit and reflect over my life, God has truly been good to me. I have nothing to complain about, because God has been good, he is still good, and God is going to continue to be good. And so when I feel alone, when I feel like that nobody cares, and I do get like that sometimes, I'm not going to lie, but I will get a text, I will get a phone call, I will get a card in the mail, some type of way I will get a communication letting me know that God is still good and God still has people out there that still do care. And so I thank God this morning. I thank God for my pastor, my first lady, and my church family. I just thank God because God is a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a great God. And there is none like him. And so I bless his name this morning, and I praise his name this morning. Everyone stay safe. I love you, and have a blessed week.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor K-Son. Good morning, First Lady K-Son and the Heart of God Baptist Church. I praise God for another Sunday that I can rejoice and be glad in him. And just thank God for his goodness. Thank him for his son, Jesus. And just let me learn to lean on him, because Jesus is my leaning post. He is everything to me. And I praise God for that today, because without him, I could not make it. So I thank God. I thank God for my church family. I thank God for my family. And just thank God for just being merciful one more time. And today is my mom's birthday, and if memories come up, I thank God that my mama left one thing with me, was how to lean on Jesus. And she often said, trust many, love, you know, just love many, trust few. Learn to paddle your own canoe. And then the other part that she left me was, Jesus is that solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand.
Rock,
all other grounds is seeking sand. So I praise God this morning. If it wasn't for parents that loved us and took the time to just be with us and to train us, where would we be today? So we just thank God today for letting us have parents that took the time, grandparents, or church members, whoever it might be. We never know who we're going to touch in this life. So tell them about Jesus, because regardless of what you say to them, they will only remember what you say about Jesus. When the times get hard, the times get rough, they will know that they got an anchor. Hallelujah. An anchor that they can hold on to. They know that they can lean and depend on Jesus, because he will not fail them. He will always be right there beside them. No matter what they're going through, Jesus will be their leaning post. God bless you all. Heart of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last one is 1718.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Kason and First Lady Kason. I want to thank you all. I want to thank my church family, Reverend Fife, Reverend Menzi, for your prayers, for all that my church represents when it comes to God and loving each other, loving the members. We are of your love that God has planted in your heart, and I thank God for his love that he has provided for me and his healing power that keeps me going each and every day. Every day is a different day, but I rejoice in each one of those days because he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Thank him my love for what he has done for me during these trials and tribulations that I'm going through with my help. I can't thank you enough. I'm surrounded with God's love, with his word, with his music, with my neighbors, my friends. I can't thank God enough for what he's doing for me, for my daughter, for my sister's children, taking care of me. Lord, I couldn't ask for no more. I don't need anything, but that I do need, God has truly provided.
Amen.
And I thank God that I'm able to live through it, to see it, and thank him for it while I live. You all be blessed. Have a great week. Pastor Aunt Jewel won't be on this morning. But you all be blessed and have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to ask if Reverend Benzie would get ready to lead us in prayer this morning. Continue to pray for all of us. Man. We all have several needs. Pray that God will continue to provide all of our needs. Amen. Continue to pray for our president, vice president. Pray for the war-torn countries all over this world. Pray for, amen, peace. Amen. God's peace would go throughout this land and throughout this world. Amen. That someone would come to know the peace of God. Amen. And learn to love their fellow neighbor. As themselves, amen. We know, amen, that there's only one peace that surpasses all understanding, and that is God's peace, amen. And so we're praying for peace this morning throughout the world. So we're going to ask Reverend Lindsay to lead us in prayer. Reverend Lindsay.
Amen, amen. Let us prepare for prayer. Oh, Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Oh God, we come to you this morning with a heart of praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, because your grace and mercy have brought us to another Sunday, Father God. Another Sunday where we can worship you, Father God. Another Sunday where we can give you glory, honor, and praise. Another Sunday, oh God, that you have been mighty good unto us. And in spite of what we went through this week, Father God, one thing we can truly say this morning, that you are faithful. You have not failed us. You have been right here with us. You have been our leaning post. You have been our helping hand. You have been everything that we needed you to be. You have been more than enough, Lord Jesus. So we thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who died for our sins. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that continues to keep us day by day. And, oh, God, I pray in Jesus' name that as you look on every heart this morning, Father God, if you see anything that's not pleasing, I pray that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as you cleanse us, Father, I pray that you will fill us with your love. Fill us with your joy. But most of all, fill us with the peace of Jesus, oh God. Father God, that there will be no divisions or schism in your body, oh God. That we will be in full unity. That we will be complete and whole in you, Lord Jesus. Because, Father God, you are a perfect God. And so we thank you this morning, Father God, that we live through your perfectness through the power of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, God, even though these vessels don't get it right down here all the time, oh, God, we thank you, Father, for the grace and mercy that you give us day by day. Because it's through that grace and mercy, oh, God, that we are able to share in love with one another. So, Father God, we thank you for this branch of Zion that you have put here. We thank you for every member that you put here in the Bible, that you put the way you want it to be, oh, God. And, Father God, we're glad that you made us different, oh, God. Because we see your glory in everything that you have created, oh God. So we thank you this morning, Father. And Father thank God, you. I pray that you look on Pastor Kayson in a special manner. Continue to be his help and his strength, oh God. Thank you for how you brought him throughout the week, oh God. Thank you that you allow no hurt, harm, or danger to come to him. Thank you, Father God, that you continue to strengthen him in ministry. Oh, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you continue to bless his going out and his coming in. And continue to give him divine inspirations, oh, God. And as he preached your word this morning, Father. Father God, I pray that you open up our hearts and open up our ears, oh God. Remove anything of foolishness, oh God. But to give us our open heart and our open spirit, oh God, to the power of your Holy Spirit that as you speak the word, oh God. Father God, that it will penetrate us and help us to grow, oh God. That we will be better people, better witnesses unto you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you keep the heart of God as a unified church body. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah to your name. And then, Father God, I pray for all those that are sick and afflicted in the church body today, oh God. Look on Dick and Bryce in a special manner, oh God. Continue to be her healer. Look on Dick and Daniel Bryce. Look on Trustees Randolph. And look on Sister Stevens, oh God. Father God, I pray that you continue to look on all those that are in hospitals and nursing homes. Continue to look on all those that are coming less than at home. And then I pray for First Lady Kayson in a special manner. Thank you, oh God, for her. Thank you for the truth that you put in her, oh God. Thank you for the boldness that you put in her, oh God. Father God, thank you for how you made her, oh God. Father God, continue to strengthen her. And as she goes to school every day, oh God, and teach the children, oh God, I pray, Father God, that you will use her as that drawing light, oh God. Father God, God, thank you so much. Thank you for blessing the first family. Thank you for looking on their children and grandchildren. Thank you, oh God, for allowing them to spend the time, oh God, just to share past and first lady with us, oh God. Father God, we don't always thank you for that, but we thank you for the day. We thank you because they make sacrifices that they don't have to make, oh God. And we are so grateful for that, Father God. And then, Father God, I pray that you continue to look on the family that had death. Look on Pastor Fields and his family in a special manner. Look on Minister Harris and his family in a special manner. Father God, we pray for the Gregory family in a special manner. We pray, oh God, for bereaved families everywhere. We pray for students. We pray for teachers. We pray for parents and guardians. We pray, Father God, that you will look on those in war-torn countries, oh God, We pray for Israel, oh God. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for even for the Palestine people, oh God. We pray for Ukraine, oh God. We pray, Father God, for all the nations, oh God. You know what they're going through. And then, Father God, we pray for earthquake victims and tornadoes and hurricanes, whatever the storms of life are. All storms are not physical, oh God. Some storms are mental and some are spiritual. Some are morally, oh God. So whatever your people, hallelujah, Jesus, is going through this morning, Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, through the preached word, oh God, will bring them peace, will bring them joy, will bring them deliverance, oh God. Let them know, Father God, without you, Lord Jesus, there will never ever be peace, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, because we know that your grace is sufficient. We thank you, Father God, because we know that your peace surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Father God, because nothing but the blood, Father God, you got the power. So we bless you this morning. And Father God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to look on all your pastors, all your servant leaders, look on all your churches, oh God. And Father God, we pray for those that don't know you, Father, that you will, Father God, draw them unto you. And Father God, we pray that you will continue to bless those this week that need food, clothing, and shelter, and those that need your salvation. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will meet every need. Keep us humble and meek with our eyes looking up to the hills for which cometh our help, because our help cometh from the Lord. And we'll be so careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. We bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank God. Amen. Friends of the righteous, amen. Thank you much. Amen. Thank God for prayer this morning. Thank God for everyone continues to pray, not only on Sunday, but every morning. Thank God that he is an everyday God. Amen. And he continues to answer prayer. He continues to bless. He continues to share and pour out his grace and his mercy. Anybody grateful to God this morning for his grace and his mercy? So I am. Amen. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. Somebody said he didn't have to do it, but he did. Amen. Said he looked past my fault and saw my need. Amen. God is continuing to be a way maker in all of our lives. Amen. And when you wake up in the morning, amen, you say, God, I thank you for a brand new day. And along with this brand new day, God, I thank you for your brand new mercies. Amen. I thank God, amen, that he's still a keeper, amen, and he's continuing to keep all of us day by day, amen. What a blessing. Not only is he keeping all of us, amen, but he's continuing, amen, to keep the enemy at bay, amen, and we thank God for that. We want to invite your attention to the book of Romans. Again, we've been studying the book of Romans in our Bible study, and it just so happens that as we are studying in the book of Romans, amen, it is in a time that we're living in where the nation of Israel, amen, is under recovery from the past, amen, from terrorist organization in the Middle East, man. And if anybody has listened to the radio or looked on anything on social media or on anything on the cable news networks, amen, that they were a lot of Americans and people from all over the world who were killed, and not just killed in some cases, amen, in a terrible way, but a horrific way, amen. Even little children, amen, were killed and tortured and hostage and this buildup of forces that are getting ready, amen, to do one thing or another to come against a terrorist organization, amen? And a lot of times people will speculate and people will develop their own thoughts and conspiracy theories and speculate on why certain things are happening. And I always tell people that nothing has caught God by surprise, that God knew and knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And the other thing we direct them to do is to look at the Word, see what the Word says about why these things are happening, amen? Because it's hard, amen, for someone who is a human, amen, and have emotions, amen, to see innocent folk, amen, massacred in such a way, amen. So while people are turning to the news and turning to each other, I counsel people to turn to the Word, amen. The Word will give you peace where it seems there is no peace, amen. Seems like there is no justice. It seems like there is no relief, amen. And when people have no justice, when they have no relief, they have no peace in their spirit, in their lives. So we're all impacted by the wars in Europe, in Ukraine, and Russia, the war that is in the Middle East, wars that are all over this globe. And for the Christian, amen, it's one of those things, amen, where you're looking to God to say, God, what is going on? What's happening? How do I share? How do I share my faith? How do I tell people to turn to you to make it make sense? Amen. And a lot of times things that are evil don't make sense. Amen. So we can start with that, amen, that evil, amen, is not a thing that you can make sense about, amen. It's something that is existing, amen. And what we have to do is we have to turn to God, amen, and trust Him, amen, to guide us, to show us, to tell us to stay in prayer, to continue to seek His Word, and to trust Him, amen, that it's going to turn out the way He said it was going to turn out. And we studied for 2 years the book of Revelation. We discussed many times, amen, that this world, whether we want to recognize it or not, is going to pass away. Amen. Amen. The book of Revelation said, Revelator said, this world passed away and he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Because the old one had passed away. And so as we live in these situations and circumstances, amen, know, amen, that God ultimately has a plan, amen, to deliver us from this world, amen, that we would be able to experience a new world, amen, where there will be no more crime. There will be more dying, and that God will wipe away all of our tears. Amen. And so that is the hope that we have while we still serve, amen, down here. Amen. With all that being said, amen, what I want us to do, amen, is to understand that the nation of Israel, God's people, amen, were given the word of God, was given the law of God, that they would be an example to all the other nations, amen, of how to interact with each other and how to interact with God. And that God, amen, expected them, amen, to be an example to the rest of the world, amen. But some kind of way they turned away from God, amen. And this did not catch God by surprise, amen, but it was all allowed in his plan, but as they turned away from God, that God's word, God's grace, God's son, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ turned to the Gentiles, turned to the Greek, turned to those who were not of the nation of Israel. Amen. But they would be able to receive the gospel of the good news, amen, and receive the word of faith, amen, not of the law, and be able to turn, amen, away from their sins, amen, and turn to God. And so in these generations, amen, there's always been a struggle with God's nation, Israel, and all the rest of the nations of the world, desire to hate, a desire to kill, a desire, amen, to see them, amen, not be God's people. Amen. But because of their turning away, God allowed the word to come to the Gentile, to the Greek, amen. And so in God's infinite wisdom, in God's plan, amen, these attacks, these methods of evil, amen, are in a way a method, amen, for the rest of the world to see Jesus, to see God. And so a lot of times you say, the people, why are we going through this? Of the black race, amen, and why did black folk have to go through so much, amen? Why do black folk have to experience so much? But it's a thing where God puts a responsibility on you to minister to someone else, and so he allows you to bear a cross, to bear some burden, amen, so that you can endure the difficulty, so that you can endure the tough times, that you can endure the unbearable times, amen, leaning and depending on God, so that you can demonstrate to somebody else, amen, that they need God, amen. And it's a method, it's a thing that's beyond our understanding, but people and nations, amen, go through certain things, amen. They turn to God and they lean to God and lean on God, amen. And because they lean on God, the very people that you would think would never turn to God would look to them and see them and say they're leaning and depending on God in this most difficult situation. How do they do that? I want some of that. And then they too, in turn, amen, lean and depend on God. So when we say that, what a fellowship, what a peace is mine, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. And it seems like to me that if you're leaning, amen, that there's something, amen, that you're missing, amen, that you're missing the ability by yourself to be able to stand up. And so what God says is by yourself you're not able to stand up, but if you lean on God, God will give you a joy divine, God will give you a peace of mind that you can lean on the everlasting arms. And so our difficulties, our struggles, our use and abuse, amen, comes, amen, that our weakness, amen, in our weakness we can become strong, amen. Paul said, when I'm weak, I am strong because I'm leaning on God, and people can see that it's not me that's doing the work. It's not me that's giving the strength, but it's the God that I'm leaning and depending on that's giving me the strength. And so in the midst of our most difficult days, in the midst of our most difficult trials, we can look to God, amen, and say, God, this is a difficult situation. God, this is a trying situation. God, this is a humanitarian crisis. God, how is this thing going to end? God, I don't know how to respond. God, I don't know how to react. God, my emotions are all over the place. God, I have a feeling for one group. I have a feeling for another group. God, how is this going to resolve? Amen. And so what you say is, I don't know how it's going to resolve, but I know the God, amen, who does know how it's going to resolve. And so I'm going to lean and depend on him to give me strength that even in the midst of this war, in the midst of this disarray, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this terror, in the midst of this killing of young people and men and women, in the midst of this use and abuse, what will I do? I will stand on the promises of God, amen. I will stand on the word word of God, knowing that God is the only leaning post, amen, that will give me the strength to be able to make it through until God's will is done in this world. So when Paul is writing to the Jews that are in Rome in the 10th chapter, he talks about Israel, amen. He talks about Israel, and he explains to the Romans, church, to the Romans, to the ones in Israel, to the Jews in Israel, he explains to them God's plan of salvation. He explains why there was a remnant that was left, amen, that there was a few people that were left of the Jews, amen, that were able to continue, that even though all the rest of them were torn up, all the rest of them were killed, all the rest of them were defeated, amen, that God had a remnant, amen, that was still able to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's look at Romans, the 10th chapter. And we're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to read down, amen, and we're going to understand God's plan, amen, and what happened and why it had to happen, what his plan is, what happened and why it had to happen. And so Paul writes this Romans letter, chapter 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So God does not have a desire for Israel's thoughts, my brothers and sisters, but he has a desire for Israel to be saved. They were given the Ten Commandments. They were given the law of God, but they came up short, and they turned away from God's law, and they went after foreign gods, and they went after things that were not of God. So in spite of that, God still loves them, and God's still going to keep his word and his promise to Israel. It might not be a great big number, amen, but there's going to be a portion, amen, a remnant of Israel, amen, that's going to be saved by God. And so God is letting us know, amen, that he has not forgotten Israel, and that Israel will be saved. And he says in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they are zealous about God, but they really don't know God that gave the Ten Commandments. They don't know God's plan. They have a ritual. They have a religion. Amen. And so he goes on in verse 3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is by faith, the faith in God, not the laws that were saved you, but your faith in God. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God accounted it for him as righteousness. In other words, it's the relationship of belief in God. It's not something that we can get on our own, but it's our belief in the righteous God, that the righteous God, amen, is the one that has the ability to give us the right relationship with him. But if you don't submit yourself to the righteous God, amen, and his plan, amen, you have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And so in verse 4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In other words, they were holding on to the law, that they were depending on the law to give them righteousness. But the law came to show them that they couldn't get it by themselves, that they needed and was prophesied, amen, that through the prophets that God would send his son, and he would become our righteousness, and he would restore our relationship with God. Not the law. The law came to show us, amen, how we come up short and point us to Jesus, amen. But they didn't want to believe, amen, that they couldn't attain it by themselves. They didn't want to believe, amen, that they were not able to keep the law. But the record is, if you break one of the Ten Commandments, you've broken it all. And so no one, amen, was able to keep the law. And it kept pointing to that you can't keep it. Your righteousness is not good enough. God sending his son to take on his righteousness, to believe in God's plan, but they would not believe in God's plan. And so in verse 5, it says, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. The man which doeth those things shall live by them. And they couldn't live by them. But in verse 6, it says, the righteousness which of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. In other words, there's nothing else coming. Christ has already completed the mission. Christ has already completed it. There's nothing else coming. God said, this is my plan. Here's my plan. This is what it is. What are you looking for? What are you waiting for? I've already gave my son. He already died. He already gave his life. He already was resurrected. And so he goes on to say in verse 8, but what saith it? It said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, it's no longer a law, but it's a faith. It's a faith. It's a belief in God's plan. And if you have a faith and belief in God's plan, amen, this is how you obtain righteousness. And you obtain it by speaking and believing in your heart. If you believe it, then you'll speak it. Amen? And this is what it all boils down to, that man has to come to the realization that in his own mind and in his law and his own works, he can't get back into the right relationship with God. And so here is the dilemma, that everybody has their own method. Everybody has their own way. So all over this world, there's arguments and disagreements and falling out that if you do it this way, it's wrong. If you do it this way, it's wrong. Because you said I did it this way, it's wrong. Because you said he did it this way, it's wrong. We're going to wipe your nation out. We're going to beat your people. We're going to kill your people. We're going to destroy your people. But God says the word of God, amen, in attaining the righteousness or the righteousness of God, is you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth God's plan. And too many times people don't want to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth God's plan, amen, because that plan will tell you, amen, that you can't do it on your own. And that plan would tell you that you're no better off than anybody else. And that plan lets you know that God is not a respecter of person. So that whatever continent you come from, you're in the same condition. And man has a problem, amen, with being lesser than, amen, or being equal to everybody else. Man always wants to be a little bit better than somebody else. In other words, I might be poor, but I'm white and poor. I might be poor, but I'm black and poor. I might be poor, amen, but I'm skinny and poor. I might be poor, amen, but I'm fat and poor. I might be poor, amen, but I'm poor and live over here, amen. But the record is, amen, you're all poor. And that's the thing that man has a problem with. He has a problem with being equated, amen, equally in sin, equally, amen, being poor or bereft of the righteousness of God. He wants to think that because I was born at you, amen, that I'm the one that can be saved and the rest of y'all got to come my way, or the Gentile believes, amen, but I'm rich and because I'm rich, I can be saved. But Jesus said that all of us is sin that comes short of the word. All of us sin that comes short of the glory of God. So all of us are bereft and without God, but we'll fight and kill each other, amen, so that one can try to be more superior than the other. But all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what God is saying, you've got to speak what God says in order to be saved. All the prophets came, amen, to let you know, amen, that Jesus was the God's son, that he was going to pay the price, that he was going to be the Messiah, that he was going to be the propitiation of sin, that he was going to restore us back to God. But the problem is, amen, nobody, amen, wants to submit to the word of God. Nobody wants to feel less than, amen. Nobody wants to be on the same plane as a sinner. But a sinner is a sinner no matter how you mix it, no matter how man. How man you shape it, the way you shape it, a sinner is just a sinner. So all over this world, from generation to generation, man has killed man. Isn't it terrible? Every continent, man has killed man. We talked about Cain and Abel last week. Killed. Sin. Coming up short. Not being right. Not being accepted by God. So if I can't be accepted by God, you can't be accepted by God. So I'm going to kill you or you're going to kill me. It's the problem that man has. The problem is a personal problem. It's an issue that he has. That he says he loves God, but he hates his neighbor. That can declare, how can you say that you love God who you have not seen and hate your neighbor that you see every day? It doesn't line up. But that doesn't negate the fact that man will make rules and regulations to make him superior than somebody else, even though his superiority still comes up short, amen, even though his privilege still comes short, up short in the sight of God, and all of our righteousness in the sight of God is but filthy rags. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Because we won't bow down. We won't surrender our heart to God. We won't realize that I'm just as bad, I'm just as poor, I'm just in bad shape as the next guy. So he goes on to say, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith. And so you have to accept it by faith. And that's the difference. Is when you have faith, that means that you are trusting in God based upon his word. It's not that you've seen God, but you're trusting God that he's going to be true to his word. And when you do that by faith, there's something that happens to you on the inside. Amen? And what happens is that even in the most difficult and dire situations, you will do it God's way. Because you have faith that God's way is the best way. Yes, amen. Your faith will allow you to turn to God and say, God, I might not be able to see it, because faith is not about what you see. Amen. Faith is about what you believe in God. Amen. That you believe that even though, God, I can't see it right now. It looks terrible. People are killing each other. They're killing children. They're killing young women. They're killing and they're murdering and they're abusing people. But God, I got faith enough in you, God, that even in the midst of these things, in the midst of these trials and these tribulations, that there's going to come a time, God, where you are going to intervene in the proper time to correct, to make things that are crooked straight, to make things that are wrong right, to turn situations from one thing to another. But I got a faith in you, God, that you have the power, that you have the ability, that, God, I can't trip my trust in man, because man is fickle and man will let you down. But, God, because of my faith in you, God, I have the ability to stand and be in my right mind and have a peace that surpasses all understanding, because I can't see it right now, but my faith will give me the ability to wait on you, God, and to respond in faith is to say that even though it's not happening right now, that's what the Hebrew writer says. He says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I can't see it right now, but I have faith in you, God, that you're going to bring it to pass. And because I have faith in you that you're going to bring it to pass, I'm going to act like I have it, even though I haven't received it right now. See, that was the faith that God brought in Abraham when he told Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, he said, go to a place that I'll show you, amen. And Abram left from among his people, not knowing where the place was. In other words, he had faith in God, that if he trusted God, God would take him and bring him to a place that God has intended for him to be, and provide him with what he needed, provide him with a blessing beyond blessing. But if Abraham said, I can't see it, God, I'm not going, Abraham would never have been encountered there for righteousness, and he would have never went to see his blessing. That's what faith is. Faith says, I can't see it, but I'm trusting you, God. I'm leaning and dependent on you, God, that you're going to work it out. It looks a little rough right now, God. and people are being killed and murdered all over the world. But God, your word says that there's going to come a time, amen, God, where you're going to allow your people to be restored. You're going to allow, amen, that this old body that we live in, this flesh that we're dragging around, that God, that it's going to go back to the dust from which it came, God. And God, that we're going to have our spirit, amen, reunited with you, God, and there's going to be a new body, and there's going to be a new building, not made by hand, God. And there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. And God, that we won't have to worry about dying in rumors of war and war anymore. But God, that you're going to take care of the last faithful person, the last person on earth, God. And even those who died in faith, God, you're not going to leave them in the grave, because the record says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Yes, God, we're having some rough times, some difficult days, but in the end, God, we know that you've already defeated death in the grave, that we have victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is why Paul is writing to them, to let them know that this is a faith thing. This is not a might thing. This is not a thing, amen, where we can fight our way out of it. Come on now. This is not a thing that we can kill our way out of it. Amen. This is a thing of having faith in the one who died for the sins of the world. And they said, well, how do we obtain this? How did all the prophets point to this? And how do we demonstrate this faith that Abraham had? And he says in verse 9, he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. In other words, it's got to be a confession, amen, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. The record says thou shalt be saved. And in other words, the Messiah that Israel was looking for, the Messiah that God had promised, it came through 42 generations, amen, and it manifests itself, amen, from generation to generation through the bloodline of Jesus Christ, and it came to his own, but his own received him not. That they loved darkness more than light, that when Jesus came, that they rejected him, but because of this rejection, the word came to the nations that were around them, and so in God's infinite wisdom, because they rejected their Messiah, he returned to us, and we were able to receive it. But that doesn't negate the fact that God still loves Israel. And no matter how bad they get beat up, no matter how bad they get torn down, that God has a place for the nation of Israel, because God promised them that he would save them, and he will save the remnant of Israel. Don't be dismayed. God will save them. God will allow them to come back into the fold. But for our sake, amen, in the wisdom of God, when they rejected him, we received him. Lord have mercy. And because they rejected him, we received him. We were brought into the family of God. Is that all right? Amen. In other words, because of their disobedience, we receive salvation. Because of their disbelief, we receive by the same faith that God has instructed, that is how we receive righteousness. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's a heart thing. That in our heart we believe in it, and with our mouth we confess that our hearts have been changed, that we have accepted God's plan of salvation. So in verse 11, it says, for the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. And this is what throws everybody into a tizzy, Sister Juanita. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. In other words, it don't matter which side of the track you come from, Lord have mercy. It don't matter, amen, if you're black, white. Even with black folk, they talk about the light-skinned folk. Come on now. Folk talking about good hair and bad hair. Lord have mercy, as long as you got hair. Good God Almighty. folks talk about short folk and short and tall folks. Folks talk about fat folk and skinny folk. Folks talk about your parents, my parents, and where we came from. But God said, the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. And that's where we get caught up. And that's where the world wars come from, is because we don't think that other people are good as us. And we think that we're better than other people and they don't deserve. But God is not a respecter of person. He said, whosoever. John 3:16 says, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish and have everlasting life. The Jew, the Greek, the Hebrew, the African, the European, the short folk, the tall folk, the fat folk, the skinny folk, the folk that we say got good hair, the folk that say they got nappy hair, come on now, the folk that are light-skinned, amen, the dark-skinned folk, all of these folks, whosoever will, amen, is who God is concerned about. God doesn't have a problem with your skin. God doesn't have a problem with the way you look. God doesn't have a problem if you're from that side of the track or that side of the track. God doesn't have a problem if you're from that part of the continent or that part of the continent. God doesn't have a problem from where you come from. What God has a problem is with your sin. But God didn't leave you in your sin. But God died on Calvary's cross. That's the whosoever. No matter what your sin is, no matter what your downfall is, that you will be able to be saved and you will be able to be restored and renewed in the presence and brought into the family of God. Nobody wants to believe verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. So in verse 13, First Lady says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that there was a time in my life that I called on the name of the Lord. Have I got a witness? I can't, amen, imagine, amen, if my life would have been if I had not called on the name of the Lord. See, Sister Juanita, there's a difference of people, the way they behave and the way they act when they call on the name of the Lord. In other words, when you call on the name of the Lord, you realize that you are rich under. You realize that you're fallen and come short of the glory of God. You realize that all of your righteousness in the sight of God was but filthy rags. But somebody told you about a man named Jesus. Have I got a witness? He said he was able to heal the sin sick soul. Aren't you glad today that somebody preached the word of God to you and told you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It didn't matter if he was black. It didn't matter if you was white. It didn't matter if you was in the Middle East, if you was in Europe, if you was in South or Central or North America. It didn't matter if you were in Eurasia. But he said, whosoever. In other words, the Asian folk, the South Central American folk, the African folk. Somebody said, I got some folks that live in the over in the North Coast or the West Coast or the East Coast. I don't care what coast you live on. I don't care what continent you live on. I don't care what sin you did. I don't care what sin you're still doing. If you call on the name of the Lord and ask him for forgiveness, if you call on the name of God and say, God, I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. I'm the one that's fallen and can't get up. The love of God
which is in Christ Jesus, and the ability to reach way down, I mean way down, and pick you up, and dust you off, and turn your feet, and place your feet on a solid rock. Have I got a witness today? But because you called on the Lord, something happens on the inside. The things that you used to do, you don't do no more. The places that you used to go, you don't go no more. There's been a change. Somebody said there's been a change in me since I met the Lord for myself. Since the God that I serve came into my life. There's been a change in my life. Have I got a witness today? Somebody said he's the Lord that has blessed me. He's the Lord that has kept me. I trusted in my faith, and God was true to his word. He's given me a peace that surpassed all understanding. I can love my neighbor as myself. I can look past his fault and see his need. Have I got a witness today? I can love in spite of. Why? Because that's the way that God loved me. Have I got a witness today? Somebody said he loved me when I wasn't lovely. He blessed me when I didn't deserve it. He gave me grace when I didn't have grace. Somebody said I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God's grace, God's mercy has brought me from a mighty long way. And because I know what he did in my life, I'm going to tell somebody, wherever I go about the good news of Jesus, that he can say to the utmost, he can turn it around, he can work it out. There might be wars and rumors of war, but I'm here to tell you that God is the great king. He's the king of glory. He's mighty in battle. He's strong and mighty. If the Lord fights your battle, you don't have to lift a finger, because God is king of kings, Lord of lords. He's the great I am that I am. He's the one that will work it out. In the name of Jesus. That's the message that we have to give. We have to give this message that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he said, how can they call on whom they have not heard? They have not believed. And he said, you got to send the preacher. That's why God says that we should pray for the preachers. He says, the word says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's why they try to kill all the prophets. That's why they always want to try to destroy the preacher, discourage the preacher, because God will use the preacher to preach the good news. Pray for your preacher. Pray for the ones that will stand up in the face of an evil and perverse world and say, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting, will have everlasting life. And they stand on the word of God, and Sunday after Sunday, we going on 20 years, Sunday after Sunday, the preached word, amen, is going out from the pulpit, wherever we go, Sunday after Sunday, day after day, week after week, the preacher will proclaim in the midst of this evil and perverse world that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King, that Jesus is King, and that every knee one day is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess, but God still loves the sinner, man. The enemy doesn't want the preacher to proclaim that news, that good news. Long as God is God, there'll be somebody to stand in the midst of all the trials and proclaim, amen, no greater love has man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus called us friends. We should behave like we belong to God. Yeah, there's wars all over this world, but I'm here to tell you, amen, God is still in control. As long as somebody is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, somebody's heart's going to change. Somebody's going to realize that there's no winners in war.
Somebody's going to realize there's no winners in killing each other off. There's no winners in that. But when they turn to God, the God of man, and they know about his goodness, and they know about his love, and they experience his righteousness by faith, they trust him and see how true and faithful he is to his word. And they'll realize, why was I doing things so ignorant and so blind? But God loves all of us. I want all of us to love each other. Greatest commandments, in spite of all the other ones, is number one to love God. Amen? And the second one is like unto him. And he said all can be summed up is that you love one another as God has loved you. And if this world can pick those two commandments up, Lord have mercy, we would have a totally different world. Just those two commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. We can get that message around the world. People can just pick those up. We would have a totally different world. Amen? Pray for your preacher. Pray for the preachers all around the world. Amen. That they will continue to be bold. Tell the story. Amen? And watch God work in this world. Amen? But you got to keep leaning on the everlasting line, on the everlasting arm, not trusting in your might, but trusting in the might of God. So I'm leaning, knowing that God's going to work it out. I don't understand it right now. I can't see it. It looks wrong. It looks terrible. But I'm still leaning, knowing that God is going to work it out according to his will and according to his word. Amen. I'm not going to hold you any longer. Amen. That's what a preacher does. Amen. Keep preaching that good news, preaching that gospel. Amen. There might be someone that doesn't know God, that haven't believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth. Amen. The word is nigh you right now. You can receive him right now. Amen. Believe in my heart, confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ crucified. Coming again. Able to change the most stoniest heart. Amen. Able to deliver, amen, like no one else can deliver. But you got to believe it. You got to trust him. You got to accept him, amen. And he'll show you who he is. He'll come into your heart and change your whole life around. But you got to make the choice. Choices that we make will determine eternity. Choices that we make will determine eternity. Life is filled with choices, and we all must make choices. But the choices that we make will determine eternity. Choices. What are your choices? Choices. What are your choices? Will you choose? The Lord today, surrender now, let him have his way. But the choices that we make will determine eternity. Choices, what are your choices? Choices, what are your choices? Choices that we make. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for your word that brings us comfort in these times that we live in this world. God, we continue to pray for those around this world that are suffering from the ravages of war, from the lack of faith, from the root of evil, all of the consequences of that evil. Now we pray that you would continue to prop up your remnant of believers, remnant of preachers, remnant of faithful children, God. In the midst of these difficult days, that we would continue to point to you, one that is the solution to all of the things that ail this troubled and sin-cursed world. God, help us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, God, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. God, we pray for our strength. We pray for the strength of the body of Christ around the world. God, we pray for Israel, God, we pray. And we thank you, God, for the remnant that you will redeem, God. We pray that you will continue to have grace and mercy upon them, God. We thank you for your infinite plan to bring all of the nations together, God, that we may be able to experience you like you had planned in the beginning. Now, God, we pray that your love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 We're going to say goodbye to our online folks. Amen. We're going to have our offering. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Sunday. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you.